Well, hello everybody. Welcome to your weekly astrological weather. This is your place to get practical guidance for not only surviving the cosmic tides, but thriving with the cosmic tides. My name is Amanda Poole Walsh. I'm the founder of Astrology Hub, and I am here with your favorite astrological weather woman, predictive astrologer, Ann Ortley. And we're going to dive into the week really quickly here. There's just one announcement that I wanted to make. Mm-hmm. We have opened up our registration for our free 2022 forecast panel. So this is happening December 8th and 9th, and we will be gathering with 12 different astrologers going through the astrology of 2022. What are the themes? What are they seeing? What are they, what do they have their eyes on? What's going to be the overarching energy of the year ahead? And mm-hmm. that event is entirely free. You're all invited. You can go to astrologyhub.com/2022forecast. So that's astrologyhub.com/2022forecast. This is our sixth annual forecast event for the year ahead. And these are always so much fun. And I will never forget the year. You know what I'm going to say. The year where Anne was on the panel and she came in and for some reason, she was literally hanging upside down on the screen like a bat.
It was my bat imitation.
Your bat imitation. I've never seen it before that moment and I've never seen it since. Like you broke the code that we were using. It was so classic. So that's one of the things
I
love.
It was pretty wild.
It's one of the things I love about these live events that we do is it's very unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's usually highly entertaining and informative and inspiring. So we'd love to see you there. That's astrologyhub.com/2022forecast. It is free. Please join us. Thanks. All right. So Anne, let's talk about the week ahead. What do we have going astrologically?
Some weeks are bigger than others, and this is one of the bigger weeks of the year for a couple of reasons. We're having Jupiter stationing to go direct. We're having Mercury stationing to go direct. Now, Jupiter's been retrograde. He's been in his shadow. He entered this point on the 26th of March, and then, of course, he went retrograde when we got into Gemini time, and now he's stopping, but he's back at March 26th. So the stories that you worked on from March 26th, that kind of paused. Now they're going to go forward. Mm-hmm. Then the second thing is Mercury stationing to go direct. We know this has been a real kick butt Mercury retrograde. And he is back to the September 10th, 9th, 10th in there when he entered his shadow. So the two of them are both stopping literally hours apart, depending on where you live. For the East Coast folks, it's 1 o'clock in the morning Monday night, but for the West Coast folks, it's at 11. You know, it happened last night. Well, both it happened for all of us last night, and then later today, Mercury stations to go direct. So those are big events in and of themselves, because whenever a planet stops, it pauses everything. But we know these are air planets. So these are all about communication and ideas and thoughts. And when the two of them are stopped, both in different air signs, they're going to really have us think about things. We can also probably expect air interruptions, you know, like airplanes and communication networks and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to watch and we're going to go, okay, what's going on in the air? Because the air energy is very strong.
And do you know what is so funny? You would think that running an astrology company and hanging out with all of you astrologers all the time, that I would know better than to do what I have done, which is schedule a flight for tomorrow, which I've been watching all these airline disruptions. And the whole time I booked the flight, I don't know how long ago. And I went, gosh, I don't know if I'm actually going to get to go on this trip. We're doing a 2022 planning session with my team in mm-hmm. Boise. And it has felt very tentative for me the whole time. And now I'm like, really? So Jupiter and Mercury are stationing to go direct, both in air signs. So it's like a compounded, and whenever they're stationed, we feel the energy the most, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long does a station last for? Is it like
3 to 5 days? Yeah. Mercury is like 3 days, Jupiter's 5. So Jupiter's been there already, you know, so we had Captain Kirk take off and fly to the heavens, you know. And I remember when they were saying, I'm like, he's 90. What are you doing? He's 90. you know, but, you know, he had a great time. He landed. He was all emotional. He was talking about looking at outer space and death and looking at Earth. He was crying. You know, it was like, oh, and you can see him when he was flying weightless in the cabin, like a little like, I don't know about this. But I thought, if a 90-year-old guy can get in a rocket, it was very funny. He and Stephen Colbert had some exchanges. Stephen said, watch out. A horny old 90-year-old is coming on top of a giant penis, you know, because Jeff Bezos' rocket looks like a penis. But they went up 10 minutes, came down, and but I was like, well, you know, talk about inspirational. Right. You know, like I would never climb on a rocket and get shot into space. But it also says, look at what you can do. Like the endless you know, that opportunity of open skies possibility. And he did it, you know, as Jupiter entered its stationary shadow. So, but Jupiter is 5 days. So Sunday, Monday, 5 days before and after. Mercury is Monday. So, yeah. But it also is, you know, you made the plan. It was a good idea. So we'll see what happens. We'll find out next week.
Send me best wishes.
We'll send you good vibes.
Yeah. good travel vibes.
But yeah, okay. it's air, you know, it's just right, you know, Mercury retrograde. This has been a real wild one, but also Venus is Sagittarius. So she's out of bounds, right? So she's got this flying energy to her and traveling. So she's in Sag out of bounds all week. And so that helps those Libra planets, but it also makes them very passionate. Not necessarily following the rules because they are out of bounds. So,
okay,
you know,
can we talk about out of bounds for just a sec? So we have Venus and Sagittarius out of bounds all week. What does that mean? And how will that energy show itself?
Play out. Well, when Venus is 90-year-old guys going up in rockets.
Okay.
Right there. That's it. Go, you know, final frontier going where no 90-year-olds gone before.
Yeah. But
Venus and Sagittarius, any planet that's out of bounds behaves in its own way. Right. So what it means is it's above the declination or below the declination that the sun goes. So normally the sun bosses the planets around and they're supposed to follow the sun's orders. Hmm. And when a planet goes out of bounds, and any one of them can, except the sun can't go out of bounds because he's the boundary guy. You know, those planets can be either really good, really badly behaved or amazing. Right. So amazing is home run. You hit a home run. Derek Jeter hits a home run over the fence. Everybody cheers and yells. Oh, my God. Brings in all the bases. Yankee Stadium goes crazy. Out of bounds the bad way. Line drive into the stand. Hit somebody in the head. Blood and guts. Right. So they can go either way. But in Sagittarius, you know, it's travel because Sagittarius rules travel. It's ideas. It's candles. It's fire. It's that visionary energy of how do we see things. Venus in Sag is very frisky. She's the Christmas present time, you know, Thanksgiving to Christmas. And, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond and Best Buy are doing Black Friday now. What are you doing Black Friday now? And they're like, because we want you to buy stuff. And of course, we don't know what we're going to have at Christmas. So start shopping now. So literally, Venus in Sag, they move Black Friday to now because we don't know what's happening with our supply chains. Venus in Sagittarius is the stuff we import from foreign places. So they just got permission to run those deboat unloading places 24 hours a day. But then they said, we're not going to be done unloading what's there until August next year. I'm like, August? Wow. Sagittarius, out of bounds, foreign travel ideas. You know, have you heard some out of bounds ideas or have you seen somebody planning things that are a little out of bounds, little strategic? Very process-based. Sagittarius is all that stuff. It's a visionary communicator. And so when Venus is out of bounds, any planet's out of bounds, it works really well doing the thing it does, but then it also can really give you a hard time because Venus and Sag can be a little self-righteous. Sagittarius can be self-righteous, can be a little know-it-all-y. No apologies to our Sag friends, but we always say to them, you know, before you go offering your opinion, ask, do they really want to hear what you have to say? And if they go, no, go, okay. And then just look at them with a big smile because they know what you're going to say. They just don't want you to say it. That's Venus and Sag. It's a fun placement. You know, Venus and Sag often is multiples. So you really like something and you buy a couple of it, right? You know, like whenever you go, when you know anybody with Venus and Sag, they're the people with like 20 eyeglasses. Because they like having the variety of, and you go, wow, you have 20 eyeglasses. They go, I love variety. They have 20 of everything.
Would that be Venus and Gemini also having multiples?
Yes, Venus and Gemini is multiples too. Yeah, mutable signs.
Mutable signs. Okay. Mutable signs
have multiples. So
okay. So you're saying this out of bounds is it could be very expansive for people. There could be like new innovative ideas, new innovative visions that are like, wow, I never even thought of that before. And or it can be unpredictable in the way that like something kind of comes out of nowhere and that thing could be something that you're perceiving as positive or negative.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, when a ball goes out of bounds, when they hit, you know, when they hit a baseball, it's a foul. They don't get penalized, but the person who gets hit in the head, you know, they don't like it. Yeah.
Right. Or someone catches it and they're super stoked.
They're super stoked.
They're on the big video with their ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And the idea of the out of bounds is it's not following the rules. So it has to, there's an element of having to do it over. But in this case, Venus rules the Uranus and Taurus, right? Which is the change. And Taurus doesn't like to change. But now the Uranus and Taurus folks or the Taurus folks are going, like, I'm ready to change. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, we were saying that the fixed people, of which Taurus is one, would be dragged kicking and screaming into change. And so they're kind of like agreeing with it now. And then Venus rules the Libra planets where we have Mercury, Mars, and the Sun. So while they were answering to her in Scorpio, that was the intense, all the books that got published revealing secrets and saying things. And then we had to go, oh, okay, what? And then now it's in Sag, and it's like, okay, so what are you going to do with this knowledge? And Sagittarius is the judiciary. So we're seeing, judges. Katie Couric had something about Ruth Bader Ginsburg she didn't include in the interview that Ruth did. You know, it's kind of like, you know, and Sagittarius rules justices, but it also understands that with these planets, there's a lot of energy. There's been a lot of energy about you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to think that. You're not allowed to do that. People are not going to be bound by that anymore. They're going to say, I can say whatever I want. Okay. You know,
right.
There was a clip on the news about a Texas school, South End or Southeast or something. And the lady was saying, okay, so for the people that we have books about the Holocaust, we have books about the other topic. and so one of the teachers went, like, what, teaching that there wasn't a Holocaust? Like, and they recorded her and released it, you know. So she's like in there saying, well, we can't have just books about one dot. We have to present the other side. It's like, what? Like, so that energy of, my belief systems, right or wrong, there are things that actually happen that are true, that happened. So you can't say they didn't, but that energy, that space.
So people that have felt like they can't say what they want to say, or it's not acceptable to believe or be behaving in a certain way, those sort of limitations that people have either self-imposed or that has been imposed upon them will be lifted.
Totally. Or pushed back against.
Or pushed back. Yeah. So people saying, "What you know,
enough. You can't do that.
I'm going to speak.
Yeah,
I'm gonna,
I can.
Right.
I can.
So, and this is the period of this week. Is it a longer period than this? How long does this last for?
Well, going forward the rest of our lives.
Oh, forever. I've never heard of
the world. Remember, the world spins forward, right? The world spins forward.
So forever.
The idea is we have the world's weird this way. You know, two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. So part of it is what's really appropriate? And then secondly, what are we getting rid of? And why are we getting rid of it? And what is that about? So what's happened with all of this cancel culture, whatever you want to call it, is looking at it and saying, well, I get it, but I also understand that what are we really doing about maybe reaching a better compromise than we had before, or understanding it in a different way. So like the Rolling Stones just dropped Brown Sugar from their playlist because it references slavery. And I had never thought about it. I know the song. It's my generation of songs. But when I read the lyrics, I went, oh, I get it. that, you know, there's a consciousness, but there's also an awareness of it can go a little too much, I guess, in the direction of, well, this should be killed and canceled, you know, so we'll see. I mean, I don't necessarily think the yelling and jumping around canceled part of it's going to go away, but I think people's reactions to it, the minute something gets blah, 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 we have to do it, as opposed to considered, thoughtful, okay, we look at this in a different way now. You know how that changes, that morality shifts, you know, what's appropriate versus not appropriate. Does that make sense?
So what I'm hearing is in the last year and a half or whatever time frame you want to look at, the issues have been brought to light. Like, so the things that people are sensitive about that they feel are not right or should be changed, that was sort of like hyper exposed, right? Yes. It was very much on display. Mm-hmm. And now these things are still coming up. They're not going to go away, but our reactivity to them and are just like, okay, well then let's get rid of everything that person wrote, or let's get rid of all these books, or let's get rid of all this music. There's more of a process that's going to happen.
More of a nuance. Yes.
And more of a nuance. Okay. There you go. Perfect. Okay. And that's because of what astrological transit?
That's the Eris Pluto square.
The Eris Pluto square. Okay.
They had the fifth of five.
Right.
So it brought it up. You're aware of it.
Right.
And now what are you going to do about it?
Perfect. Got it. Right. Okay. I can definitely see that. I mean, that seems to be coming up in lots of different areas where last year it felt so sensitive and aggravated and it was almost like, okay, let's just do what we need to do to help this be less inflamed, you know, so it's not this like open wound. And so now we have all the information we need. We're considering it from multiple perspectives and we have a better way to start moving forward. And I like what you said, nuanced. Yeah.
I think nuance is the proper word. And Libra is nuanced.
Right.
Libra says, you know, there is a balance. It's not all or nothing.
Right.
It's not kill them or else. It's what's the nuance of it. We're going to be saying, well, that's interesting, because that's what Sagittarius is. That's a Sagittarius word. And our job is to go, okay, that's interesting. And then when Venus goes into Capricorn and comes back in from out of bounds, she's going to be, okay, so like, how are we proceeding? You know, because she'll then talk to us about process. And what does that look like? And of course, the Eris Pluto, the Eris return was when Columbus landed in the United States and said, we found you. Now, people were happily living here for centuries before he got here, right? But from his perspective, but if we think of the colonialization of the United States as kind of beginning then, and then the Pluto in Capricorn, which is we still have to figure out over the next year what we want our country to look like. That's not done. That part's not done, because we have our Pluto return next year. But the Pluto, which was the Declaration of Independence, the aspirational chart, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is what we say we're going to give you. With all of our flaws and all of our problems and all of the other stuff, that's the vision. What does that look like now, 248 years later? So we have this setup of understand the indigenous cultures and the slave culture and the indentured servants and the immigrants that came here and built for a quote-unquote better life and migrated in, because the Irish were discriminated against, but they blend, right? So we've got this whole process of transformation taking place, and that's what we're in. We're in the mode of, okay, we need to transform this, and then people resist or push for that transformation. So I'm hoping it'll be less combative. We're not done with Pluto yet, so we're still going to have the power business going on, which we have to figure out how to handle. Are you using your power for good or for bad? What kind of power are you using? So that part, we still have another couple of years discussion on. But the eruption of the inequities piece, and we need to address this, it's in people's consciousness, because we had five Eris Pluto squares. So it's a really interesting energy. And the good news is Sun squares them now, right now. This, literally, we're in that. And then
Sun squares what?
Eris and Pluto.
Okay.
And then Mars is going to square them later this week. He's going to square them on the 21st and the 22nd. And then Mercury's going to square them next week, week after. And remember, the Eris-Pluto was all the difficult stuff that came up when Mercury hit that Eris-Pluto, part one, part two. He still has part three. Today, we're seeing it illuminated. We're going to see Mars go through it, which is a fight. That's the 21st and 22nd. So there's a little contentious energy this week because Mars is in Libra, opposing Eris, squaring Pluto. But he's in a psychological integration to Pluto. And he's saying, well, let's understand what this is about. Why are we doing this? And, you know, and I, you know, I was thinking about this the other day because I was talking to someone, you know, it's like we all have our own biases. We all have our own worldview, which is shaped by who we are and where we come from and how we were raised. And so when you have a consciousness moment where you go, oh, I never thought of it that way, that allows you to have an awakening. And if you think about what you knew when you were little and what you knew when you were 20 and what you knew when you were 15, what you knew when you were 30, and as you go further along the age, you're in a constant space of learning. You know, Captain Kirk brought us to outer space for years, but he didn't get to go there till he was 90. And then he had a completely different reframe of his entire life experience when he got off of that rocket and he hugged Jeff Bezos, and he did this emotional, that aha moment, right? And so we have to always watch for the aha moment. And I'm just going to say this week has a lot of aha. I never thought of that before. But once we think of it, we go, huh, pretty good, pretty good. I hadn't thought of that. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody today about a situation going on, and I have experience with this person, and I had a little reaction to something that was happening, and I was discussing it, and the friend said to me, you don't want to go spit in his soup. And I went, well, actually I do, but I'm not going to, you know, so like, do I say something or do I let him have his experience with this? Because that's the experience he's going to have. And I have my experience, but his might be different than mine. Right. And it was a very literal framing on, you know, which hit right at the right point for me to go, you're right. I'm not going to spit in his soup.
You know,
that observation, that's part of it too. It's like, how do we work with that? When we have knowledge, what do we do to share it? How do we have those conversations? And so much of our conversations have been combative.
Yes.
So now it's an opportunity for us to go, well, you know, he's going to have a learning experience and I'm good with watching.
Or I'm having a learning experience too. I mean, that's the thing. One of the things you brought up is those moments where you go, I never thought of it that way before. There is a certain stance that we could have to those kinds of things of like, wow, I never thought of it that way before. And what else could be illuminated for me that I don't even know yet? I think yes. It's this way, yes. But this is a continual process. We're always learning. There's something about our culture or whatever, that there's some sort of sense that we arrive somewhere. And when we arrive there, we know everything, you know, we never do. And we're always expanding and growing and learning. And that's what I love about the 90-year-old is he clearly hasn't lost his zest for life and new experiences. And not that all of us can just hop on a rocket ship and, you know, go into space, but we have our versions of that, right? Like going into new territory that we haven't explored before. And I think in terms of a practice, you know, in terms of a practice of our life, it would probably make life a lot more enjoyable if we stayed open to, hey, I don't know everything. I'm super excited to know what I don't know and to continue learning. And that's just part of being alive. I think it's part of why we're here.
And it's part of the more exciting part of being alive.
Right? Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. We can turn that off, but why?
Well, if we turn it off, we lose so much. And I think that's the energy, is the universe is saying, what about the joy? What about that when you were a little kid and you had Christmas, you know, when you were a little kid and you were like full of the joy? Think about when you learned, you know, stories about Santa Claus, right? And you went, and then you had to figure out what your new posture was on that. You know, it's so much about where we find the magic and where we find the way to partner. And the magic's gotten a little tarnished.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a silver pot, you know, it gets tarnished. So this is a time of polishing our silver and getting it shiny and bright so it can serve us again. Focusing on the shiny and bright, totally the spites are there, totally Pandora's box. There's a lot of ill in the world. But what's the shiny and bright I can focus on? Because that's my Venus and Sag light. That's shiny and bright that calls me, the light in the darkness. You know, so it's a helpful exercise with this energy to sit in darkness and to light a light. And just see, you know, as you're in the darkness and then you light a light and you see what you see. And then eventually your eyes adjust and you actually see the room from that one little candle. And if we all light candles, what does that do? So that's the beauty of Venus in Sagittarius, that energy of candles. And once we've seen it, then we're good. It has a lot of that feel to it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the things is we have this safety in our beliefs. We have a safety, a sense of safety in our worldview and our perspective. And part of this, when you think about the 90-year-old and how much courage it would take to get on a rocket ship and like blast yourself into space, it's like having that sense of adventure, though. It's like, yeah, I'm safe in these beliefs, but am I alive? You know, am I like on the verge of discovery, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think we take so much for granted. I mean, how about just like looking in the mirror one time being like, wow, like I'm a miracle. I mean, my body, my everything about my life, my existence is miraculous. If I really stop to consider that for a moment, that just being alive, being here, everything we see in nature, everything, I mean, there's gifts everywhere and we can choose to see them or not. So it sounds to me like the astrological energies are going to be supporting those types of realizations and practices and paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And inviting us to get to look at it from a different perspective. You know, Venus in Sagittarius is traveling somewhere other than where you live, right? Because Sagittarius is 500 miles from home. So, you know, travels up, there's, you know, there was a little bit of disruption with the flights, but also that, gee, I'm planning on a trip or I'm planning to do something new or adventuresome. And why do we do that? We do that because we get a different perspective of our world. And then when we come back and come back to our home and we walk in after being away for a few days, we see our home in a new way. We see where we live in a new way. And we bring those memories of that foreign experience with us. And they're part of who we are, but we're not in those places anymore, but we carry them. So Sagittarius is also the inspirational thing that helps us inspire for what we're looking for. So there's an inspirational quality to it too, where it kind of makes us think bigger or think wider or go beyond where we are used to being.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the help of it. That's the beauty. It's like, okay, try it. You know, so earlier when we were on, we were talking to Jamie before we came on, and she was talking about being Southern. And I said, oh, did you eat grits? She goes, I hate grits. They're like sand. I'm like, yeah, but there's, you know, they make your vocal cords. But also, but she's aware of like my Southern came out because she's a Southern girl, but she's living a little further north. But it took her back to her roots. Right. And, you know, when you hang out with your high school friends or your college friends or people from other times, you go back into that time, into that energy. It's like a little mind thing. You go back for your college reunion. You go back for your high school reunion. You go, wow, you know, I remember this, but it's different than I remember it, too, because I can't go back. Can't go back. World spins forward. You can go visit. You can't go back and gather everybody that went to college with and have senior week again. Some of them, you know, like, but it's in the memory. So that's the Sagittarian. It's the ending happens. That's the Scorpio. It ends. And then the Sagittarian says, but you have the memories. You have the photos. You have the vision of where you're going next, you know, coming in. So it's a very profound kind of week. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy because of the Mars is answering to a Venus out of bounds in Sag, and she might not be following the rules. But that's okay. That's part of the energy of the push. But I do find when that energy is in place, often it yields a little easier. It's not quite as overt a conflict. But sometimes when you have a fight with someone and you say something or they say something in anger or in, you know, passion, it helps you. You go to bed, you think about it the next day, and you get up and you go, all right, I hear you. Because we're also going to have a full moon this week in Aries, Libra Sun Aries Moon. So that full moon, that's happening too. So it's going to kick us up. That's on the 20th. So that full moon taking place gives us a real forward motion. That's going to happen at 27 degrees of Aries Libra. So that also takes us back to the Saturn-Pluto conjunction that happened in November of 1982. So if 82, 83, you're looking back at that story and you're seeing it in a different way because that story is illuminated by the full moon. So it's a big week for processing, for ideas coming in, for communication, but also perhaps sometimes the communication will be a little emotional.
Okay. And so what would you say the theme is for the week?
Pay attention to what you don't know.
Awesome.
Watch for the things you don't know.
Okay.
Because that in that area lies growth. That's what it's trying to do. It's trying to say, well, you didn't know about this. And you're like, you're right, I didn't. And that changes how I see it now.
Again, we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Giving yourself permission to not know, I think, is a big thing too, because so many times we're like, God, I should have known, or there's some sort of hanging on because we feel embarrassed or we feel like shameful, or we're so committed to being right that it's hard to give up that position. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, just giving ourselves permission to say, hey, look, I didn't know. And now I know. And so now that I know, I see things different and I would approach the situation differently. So it's almost like giving ourselves that room to have some flexibility in our viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because remember, once we hit 7, we start thinking we're supposed to be in charge of our structures. And, you know, it's a shame, or it's, you know, it's not good to not know. Rather, you know, and a lot of times they say cultivate beginner mind. And that's all great. But when you throw Saturn in, he brings a little, well, who do you think you are to be beginning this at your age? You know, you should know better. You should, you know, whenever you hear a should word or a blame or a humiliating or, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed to show that to you. That's Saturn when he's operating in his oppress, depress, repress mode. Whereas if you say, okay, I'll ride a rocket into space at 90, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trusting the process. I'm going to trust that, you know, I'm going to trust I can do this.
And I'm going to give myself permission to fall down. I think so for all of us, you know, people that are trying new things or exploring new areas in your life, it's like, okay, we're babies again. And I remember you saying this in the beginning of the year. It's like, we now have our wings, but we don't know how to use them yet. We're still learning how to use them. So being gentle with ourselves and being gentle with each other in that process of learning, you know, we have this puppy now.
I know, you got
a little puppy. And she's so adorable, but like, they fall all over the place. They're like running into things. It's the cutest thing. And it's not like, why don't you know how to go down those stairs? It's like, well, you're learning.
You're a puppy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if we can all think of ourselves as puppies on some level, because there is new areas in our lives that we are puppies. Right? We're just learning. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay if we're falling down. And that's, I think, also true. Again, if we can hold that with ourselves, then we're much more capable of holding that for other people as we watch them fall down and make mistakes.
Okay. And I think that's the other part is forgiving, you know, if you feel like you did make a mistake. So when you're going to give yourself permission to put it down and not move. So I happen to think that friend of mine made a mistake, but I also have an experience base, but I'm not going to spit in his soup and warn him. He gets to have his own learning experiences. At the same time, I'm going to be watching to see maybe, who knows, maybe that person that causes so much trouble has changed and she's going to be well behaved. Maybe she just was badly behaved with me. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the that's part of where we have to trust that people grow and change. And so there's a lot of opportunity with this last pass of Mercury through his shadow through November 7th for us to look and go, well, okay, am I changing my mind? Am I changing how I think about things? Am I willing to change? Am I willing to listen, to negotiate, to talk, to try something new, to see how it would work, to see other ways of doing it? And that again, the beginner mind always kind of annoys me because it implies throw away your experience, mm-hmm. which experience is hard won. Mm-hmm. Not to say don't try it, but trust the process that you do have an experience base. Then the second piece is allowing a space where you don't know how to do stuff, allowing that to proceed in a new way because you're going to learn better. You're going to learn more. You're going to learn how to do it in a different way than you did before. And if you do it that way, then you're doing it with, okay, well, I tried that. That didn't work. Now I'll try this. Well, that worked a little better. Oh, now I tried it. This way works. Then you're learning the new skill. And I think that helps. You know, it's kind of like you don't take a golf lesson the week before your tournament because it's going to screw up your golf game because they're going to tweak your serve, tweak your stroke, and you're going to hit the ball badly. But then you go back to the coach and you get that improvement that you practice with for a while before you take it out into the world. So it's mm-hmm. it's kind of an interesting energy because it assumes a level of competency, but then it also assumes a level of beginner.
I mean, Saturn is like
Saturn, you're in a square.
Yeah, there's Saturn is here's your experience, here's where you have mastery, and Uranus is saying, yeah, but here's where you can grow still. So mm-hmm. it's actually marrying those two things.
And the Uranus is in Taurus, answering to the Venus out of bounds in Sag, so it wants to grow. Mm-hmm. The change wants to grow, right?
Yeah,
that's the key. The change is interested in growing now because it's Saturn and Taurus, Uranus, the Taurus that Uranus is controlling says, well, I want to grow and do that. It's like, oh, you want to change, Taurus? Taurus is like, yes, I want to grow. You know, and if you watch a plant, you know, it grows. Mm-hmm. But when I was tending a garden, and it was a rose garden, and we would remove the suckers from the plant, the little guys, because they would suck the energy to allow the roses to go tall and strong. So there was a pruning mm-hmm. of what's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. To allow the growth to grow.
Mm. You know, and something that, else you said.
So it's a combo week of the pruning and the growth. Yeah.
Pruning mm. and growth. Love that. Mm. There was something else you said that was really interesting when you were talking about that friend you have and you're looking at going, well, you know, here was my experience of this person, but maybe you'll have a different experience. You know, I've gotten used to, you know, when people ask for recommendations or I've gotten used to saying my experience of this person was blank. Because that's all we can really speak to. As we know with astrology, there's different synastry, there's different chemistry between people. Mm-hmm. So while I might have a great experience with that person, I can't guarantee that your experience is going to be the same. Your experience is going to be the way that your two wiring actually hook up. And that could be very different than the way mine was. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think astrology so often provides these perspectives of like, oh yeah, there's as many human beings as there are, that's how many different perspectives and different experiences there can be. Right. So, Anne, basically what we're looking at is the major events of the week, which is this out of bounds Venus, the Sun, Mars, and Mercury squaring the Eris and Pluto points.
Mercury's next week.
Oh, Mercury's next week. So Sun and Mars
this week, yeah.
Yeah. So those are the big things there. More things illuminated. It could have a contentious sort of vibe. We have this out of bounds energy, which is going to be somewhat unpredictable, a good time for different visions to come in, but also be ready to have those different awarenesses and perspectives. Mm-hmm. I like what you said when you said we're going to have an opportunity to polish the silver or polish our perspective is the way I'm thinking about it and focus on where we find magic and where we partner. So you said something about, you know, how
partner productively.
Okay. And there is, let's see what you said, the full moon in Aries. That's a big deal. So that's forward motion. And we're looking back to the Saturn Pluto of 1982, 1983. So
fall of 82, spring of 83. And then the new moon for this was in April of 2020.
It's really amazing how you do that in your head. I'm always like, what? How did you just do that? It's amazing.
Annie has a little ephemeris in her brain. What could I think? You know, it's like, well, and also certain aspects or certain points are memorable. You kind of go, oh, I know what happened then, you know? So,
right.
Yeah. So I know, I kind of know what I'm having happen this week by looking, when I looked at that full moon degree, I'm like, oh, I know what that is.
Interesting. Okay. So look back into your life. If you were alive and you remember.
If you weren't, ask your parents what they were doing, because you're going to have a repetition somewhere in your life because you are descended from them. Yeah.
We have a lot of processing, ideas, communication, but the communication might be emotional. Mm-hmm. And then I love this idea of pruning, what we need to prune from our lives in order to have the kind of growth we want to have.
Yep.
And pay attention to what you don't know. Mm-hmm. Because there lies the growth. What would be so interesting is to walk through the week actually with the intention to have what you don't know that you need to know illuminated for you. Mm-hmm. It's like if you walked the week with that intention of like, show me what I don't know that I need to know, that mm-hmm. would actually help me shape my perspective in a productive way.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really interesting to see what comes through. And I'd love to hear from you all next week when we meet again, to see if anything got illuminated that you were like, whoa, that's really good to know.
Right. And then last but not least, don't forget Jupiter stationing direct and Mercury going direct.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Happens once a year, you know, with Jupiter and with Mercury three times a year. But they also go, hey, I'm going to tell you something. And you're like, oh, wow. Woo, woo. And I will say to everybody, you know, if you want, it's like a lot coming in all these pieces, sign up for astrology in your pocket and you get a download every day of what's going on each day, day we're going to work with this stuff. So,
yes. Well, to do that, you would go to astrologyhub.com/pocket mm-hmm. to get text updates. And that's for the US and Canada, and astrologyhub.com/pocket email. I believe, Jamie, can you please confirm that? I think it's pocket email. It might just be email. Do you remember, Anne? Anyways, that's where you can get the breakdown of the transits that are happening day to day from Anne. Plus you get a voice audio. So if you listen to these and you go, oh my gosh, I love this, but it would be really nice to know in real time as they're happening, then Astrology in Your Pocket with Anne is definitely a great service for you. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, and it's Mercury retrograde. Remind them, you can get this in your pocket. But also Jupiter has, and we started this when Jupiter went direct, when he went in, we started this last spring. You know, we started talking about it. So I'm like, oh, this is the pocket stuff. So that it made me think I should say it. But also we want to remember Jupiter is, you know, he's a good guy. He's in a great sign. He loves being in Aquarius because he's all about community. So a lot of times this is your community coming to you, or your tribe coming to you and saying, hey, how about this? And you going, gee, that sounds really interesting, because the energy wants to go forward.
So for email, it's pocket email, astrologyhub.com/pocket email. And for text, it's astrologyhub.com/pocket. Yeah. And so the texting is only available in the US and Canada. If you're international, then pocket email, you'll get it via email. You get the same exact things. Either way.
The energy of it is very much about, you know, what's my tribe, what's my community, and then more locally, what am I doing? Because the Mercury going direct is me, it's a personal planet. The Jupiter going direct is the community. What's the community in the group doing? So that starts the beginning of the week. And as they turn direct, everything just kind of flows out of them. The good news is it's mainly air. So it's a lot of ideas. Doesn't necessarily look like destructo stuff, you know, which is always good. I mean, the Mars can be a little combative because it's Mars. But when Mars was doing stuff with these guys before, was Afghanistan pullout. When Mars went through this, when he went through it the last time, he said that was the Afghanistan stuff. So
we may have some more unfolding of that storyline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Anne, thank you so much. I don't think we got the intensity scale, but you did say this is one of the biggest weeks of the year. So,
well, I think it depends on how you feel about knowledge.
Mm.
So if you like knowledge, you're going to be like, totally cool. I like to know that. If you don't want to know it, and it gets kind of dumped in your face, this is something you do need to pay attention to.
Okay.
Right. So if someone calls and says, bop, 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 and you go, oh, I didn't really want to know that. It is something you need to know and deal with. You know, I had a mom call and her kids in a relationship that his friends hate, right? His friends have gone to their parents, like, what do we do about this bad girlfriend? And the parents contacted the mom and the mom's like, what do I do about it? And I'm like, well, you know, this is that energy, you know, you kind of like that his friends are worried about it and they're trying to figure out how to handle it. And you're hearing about it, that kind of thing. With something come like that comes up, pay attention to it.
Okay. So it's almost like it's sometimes inconvenient information that life would be simpler if you didn't know it.
You didn't know it.
But you need to know it and you need to actually take some action about it. Okay. Anne, thank you so much. This has been so helpful. I feel like we're ready to go for the week.
Put on your helmet. Put on your shield. Get up your sword. It's Athena's week. It's Libra. It's like I'm going in and I'm going to wrestle with the energies. And
that makes me want to wear a costume on my flight, which would be pretty weird. But it makes me want to as I'm flying through the air.
Those little flying shields, right?
Yeah, I love it. Okay, well, thank you so much, everybody, for being here. Thank you for tuning in each week. We love having this time with you. And Anne, as always, thank you for being here and for illuminating us on the energies so we are well-informed as we go about our week. Appreciate that so much. And thank you for making astrology a part of your life. We'll catch you on the next episode. Take care, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Are you looking for personalized guidance? Do you have questions about what you're meant to do and be in this lifetime? What you need in intimate relationships to really thrive? Or what major themes you'll be working with in the months to come? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you'll want to check out our personalized character and destiny and year ahead reports. These reports are perfect for you if you want professional insight into your astrology chart or year ahead. Written by internationally renowned astrologer, Adrian Ross Duncan. Your character and destiny report provides deep insight into who you are and what you came here to do, your biggest strengths and challenges, and how your astrological design impacts your career and relationships. The Essential Year Ahead report gives you insights into the major themes you'll be exploring in your career, your love life, personal development, and much more. For only $37, you can get your personalized astrology report delivered straight to your inbox within minutes. Just go to astrologyhub.com/reports to get yours today. That's astrologyhub.com/reports.